Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everybody. This is Debbie Lynn Molyneux filling in for Janine Loudon on Lunch with Loudon today. Glad to have you with us. And joining me as a guest host today here in Portland as a Portland duo is Dan Aronson from Press One for Democracy. I'm going to say hi, Dan.
Hi, Debbie Lynn. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Well, we're coming to you live today with some positive news on campaign finance reform today. We're so happy to actually have some. And just a big thank you to Coffee Party Radio and all the folks out there and that are supporters of Coffee Party, because we had another big campaign launch today that we're going to talk about a little bit too. And let's dive right in to what's happening with campaign finance reform. And, you know, I threw out a kind of provocative email blast that just says, you know, what happens, you know, we keep demonizing people in the system to say, you know, these people are bad because they're of the way they're working campaign finance reform. And I think one of the things that came out of the board unretreat, Dan, and you were there and I wasn't, was this concept of free the elected. And do you want to talk a little bit about how that came about? Because it was a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, no, it is a totally different way of thinking about it. You know, what everybody seems to want to do is to be mad, and I think you know, Janine said it right about, you know, we're using the slings and arrows of righteous indignation, and that's one way to go about it. But Janine actually came up with it. It was amazing. It was to watch her mind work is so fun, and she was just going. She was just talking and talking about the whole thing, and then she said, "Yeah, you know, we need to come up with a way to free the elected." You know, and I said, and I immediately chimed in. I said, "That's brilliant, because it's a way to actually give the politicians an out, and to make it so we're actually on their side, and make it so the pitch is we're pulling in the same direction. We understand." You have to play the game. It's not your fault. It's the way the system is. We're going to help you become free of the big influence of big money. And so I was like, "That is totally brilliant." So we agreed as a board to run with that whole concept, and it's fun to do it that way, because it has just such a positive spin on it versus a negative spin.
Well, you know, the other thing I like about it is that it provides a graceful way to engage versus something that's like opposing forces. I mean, every time we get with the opposing forces, it doesn't seem to end well.
No, I agree. Totally agreed. And it's at some point you realize that when you start, you know, if you're just going to throw, you know, cast stones and say, "You're bad people, you need to change." I mean, at some point you realize that, you know, that has the effect of dropping a grain of sand in the ocean. It's really not going to be very effective.
Yeah, and you know, that is, and the other thing, I mean, I posted this on Facebook this morning, and I've got, you know, a couple people going, yeah, right, they're trapped, you know, and we've got, you know, cynicism and sarcasm coming out. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, you know, when they go out and they do those polls, it's like everybody likes their own congressman and usually likes their senator. I shouldn't say everybody, but there's a lot of people that do, because they keep reelecting them, right? So enough people in their districts do. But then they think, but Congress as a body is that it's at an all-time low. And I think that what Janine tapped into and the board went for with freeing the elected was that we actually like the people, but the system itself is really screwed up. So
that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, that's what we're going to kind of explore a little bit more today. We have a new program with Coffee Party we want to roll out and talk a little bit about as well, which is called Free the Elected, amazingly enough. There's a couple of other tax things that come up. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in and talk to Dan and myself, dial 646-929-2495 and push 1 so that we know that you're in queue. Would love to hear some other voices. But there's a couple of other things about money and politics that were happening today. And one was that my senator, Ron Wyden, partnered up with Senator Murkowski out of Alaska to propose for the first time in a decade some bipartisan legislation for campaign finance reform. So that's on coffeepartyusa.com. It's the second blog down because we have Free the Elected is the first blog right now. And I'm just really excited. I didn't have time to watch the 26-minute video that's there, but I'm really excited about what they're proposing, that we actually have something proposed. Have you had time to look at any of the details on that, Dan?
I have not, but I've also always known that Senator Markley has been an outspoken, very outspoken opponent of money in politics. He's he has before helped author and sponsor campaign finance reform, and he has been 100% consistent in his wanting to get rid of it. And over dinner the other night, discussion came up, I don't have the details on that either, but my wife relayed to me that the Republicans are definitely targeting him for his next election to try to get him out.
Now we have two senators here in Oregon. We have Jeff Merkley, and we have Ron Wyden. Wyden is the one who's sponsoring this campaign finance.
Oh, I apologize.
I'm really
off now, aren't I?
I'm going to post a link to the article off of Ron Wyden's website in our chat room here. So, and I see we've got lots of folks listening online today, so you guys can follow that link for me and maybe call in and tell us what we're missing, what's good, what's bad about it, because I didn't have time to read that thoroughly. But I know that the other thing that's happening right now is this whole big, you know, brouhaha over the IRS. And Dan, you did a whole show on this because basically the IRS was looking at 501c4 organizations, which are usually member-based social welfare organizations that are allowed to be tax exempt as long as their primary activity is not political based. And Coffee Party, just in full disclosure, is one of these type of organizations. And when we say not political based, they mean not promoting a candidate. That's very specific in the IRS languaging. And so, so just what does everybody think about what's happening with the IRS? I mean, we've got a couple of people who had to resign over this. But I mean, Karl Rove's Crossroads GPS is a 501c4 organization, and they spent most of their money on campaign ads last year. So I have some mixed, I have some real mixed feelings about what's going on there.
Yeah,
Any words on that, Dan?
I think the greatest majority of the reaction over the last two shows that I've done, because I did do a follow-up show and we revisited it in as much as the new details that had come out in the week. In the week between, but the reaction is pretty much across the board is that people are saying, okay, this is silly. We need to simply get rid of this distinction. If you have anything to do with politics, you're out. You can't have tax-free status, which, of course, you know, is a way of, for some people, of skirting the issue that it actually happened, because there are some kind of uber partisan people that don't ever want to admit that any administration, whatever the sitting administration is, they don't want to ever admit that they do anything wrong. So people would just basically skated the issue by saying, you know what, these people should not have that status. And I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. The prerequisites for, you know, saying you're an educational organization, I mean, that's kind of very archaic and not very specific.
Right.
Probably somebody needs to relook at that language and just eliminate all political organizations as being tax exempt.
Eligible. Well, this is the second organization that I've done that I've served on. That I've worked with, I should say, that's a 501c4. I served on the board for another one. that was also political and had an educational arm that didn't touch the political realm at all, but provided forums for people to learn how to run for office and stuff. And then they also had their PAC, which provided was completely about providing money for candidates and supporting candidates and endorsements and everything like that. And then in between the two, there was a C4 organization that was where all the membership was housed. And so it's just kind of this interesting way that the tax code has forced organizations to operate and try to maintain their tax exempt status. So I probably have way too in the weeds for people on air, but this is because of the tax code, that's how it works. And anybody have any questions about that? Any other opinions? We've got the chat room going. And Dan and I are here carrying on for Janine. By the way, Janine is on vacation this week. We miss her dearly, but she would have me tell you all aloha. And she'll be back next week.
Yeah, it was so, kind of. I'm sitting on a board call last night, and it's as you well know, because you're here as well. It was sitting here pouring rain, cold, about 50 degrees. It was miserable. Other than the fact that the Winterhawks won last night, it was a pretty miserable night. And here's Janine saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I have to go. I have to grab my mother and head to the airport. And I'm going to the Big Island." And I'm like, trying to force a tear out of my left eye. I just couldn't do it.
It was too hard. Too hard. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, oh, poor Janine.
Well, I've got Jack from Hugoton, Kansas on the line, ready to give us a couple of questions here. Jack, I'm going to go ahead and turn your mic on. You have some words of wisdom for us today, Jack?
You hear me?
We can.
Okay. I got an opinion on that. That should even be an issue. All you have to do is do away with all exemptions, deductions, exemptions, filing status, make it a four thing, and the IRS shouldn't even have an answer on 501c3s and 501c4s. You need a bill passed not to even get the IRS involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
How you do that, you have to go through Congress. It's a matter of money again. 501c4 involves political decisions. The IRS should stay away from political decisions. You simplify the tax code, you reduce it to less than 100 pages. And I know it's too simple for most politicians. They have to have complicated stuff.
Well, they're all lawyers, Jack. They write in that other language I call legalese.
That's the problem. Okay. I had a discussion with somebody who's sort of a Tea Party member, and he said, get rid of all the lawyers out of Congress.
Ah, the old William Shakespeare approach.
You think that would give us some more common sense in Congress?
Yeah, because they want to do is legal technicalities.
Mm-hmm.
This and
what
that.
Was it Herman Cain that came out during the primaries who said that no law should be more than 3 pages and it should pass some kind of a test where if you've got a ninth grade education and you can't understand it, they've got to rewrite it so you can? Wasn't that one of Cain's crazy ideas?
You know what? It sounds like Herman Cain.
Okay, I used to work for H&R Block 5 years. That's before they had everything under computers. You have to now. You can't do your taxes without a computer. You check your results. And I was a theory checker for about 5 years. And I make judgments on people's income. They had anything from any, but anyway, the tax code should be, the lawyers to make a lot of money, and they got to support their donors.
Mm-hmm.
And,
They certainly do seem to write their own laws. Hey, Jack, have you heard anything about this campaign finance reform that went up today, that Senators Wyden and Murkowski proposed?
Well, that would be Lisa Murkowski. That's a bipartisan in Alaska. Yeah,
right.
I don't know if they had a chance to pass.
We don't either.
Okay, there was also good news on immigration reform. I think you have a good chance to pass to go through, but you still gotta get Boehner on board and the Tea Party folks. They gotta neutralize the. Too afraid of the Tea Party people.
Mm-hmm.
People from red states. As I say, there is this dog whistle crowd that applauds every time you hear an extreme right wing statement.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
You want to? Can you? Yeah. I've got another caller waiting for us. You want to give us some last words here?
Yeah, I think need to get rid of all subsidies should have to go. No subsidies, no trade offs,
How about closing all the loopholes, too?
The Farm Bill and all that stuff, I've got mixed feelings about the pipeline.
Oh, I know. You don't want to get me started on that one today.
Yeah.
You don't want to get me started on that one today. It was what I almost did the show on today. Well, thank you, Jack, for calling in, as always. We so appreciate your words of wisdom.
Talking to Lunch Loudon.
You're talking to Debbie Lynn because Janine Loudon is on a plane right now on her way to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, Debbie. I don't know if you're a friend of mine on Facebook or not.
I don't think I am yet, but we'll have to fix that. I did send you an email asking for your address, though, so I can mail you a book.
Is it a free book?
It is, from last week. From our guest that we had, J.D. Messenger, last week. He was giving away free books to our callers.
I don't have to pay any money. As long as I don't have to pay any money for it.
Not a cent.
Okay, well.
So check your email and send me your address, okay?
I will go back to it.
Okay.
I will get back to it because I was, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye.
Jack. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've got another caller calling in. I'm guessing this is Ray from 503, but tell me if I'm right.
Ray from 503, but
you're right.
Tell me if I'm right.
Okay, can you mute your computer?
Yeah, just a second.
Okay, can you mute your computer?
Yeah, just a second.
Okay, can you mute your computer?
Yeah.
Boy, that could go on forever.
There we go.
There we go. Thanks, Ray.
It was a little hard talking, listening to both of them anyway. So tell me more about this coffee party, Free the Elected from the Tyranny of Money and Politics. I followed the link, but it's primarily just a donation page. Didn't say much about the program. So what have you guys got in mind?
So we're doing two things. We've got a two-tiered process going on. And the first part of the process is that we need to raise some resources, some money, which is what the campaign launched today, so that we can fund another project called the 535 campaign. Mm-hmm. And so Free the Elected is going to be kind of like the major umbrella that the coffee party does for the next 18 months.
Okay.
To take on any projects for campaign finance report in support of campaign finance reform. The first one of which is the 535 campaign. And 535, just so everybody's real clear about what that number means, is the 435 congressional seats plus 100 senatorial seats equals 535. And we're looking to have at least one or more people in to be a contact that live in each congressional district and, of course, the people in each state to handle the senators who are in constant communication with their congressmen and their senators about what their stand is on campaign finance reform and Citizens United specifically. So in order to get that infrastructure in place, we need resources to get that all set up. We think we have the right, through Nation Builder, we think we have the right system set up that can handle it. But in order to keep the communication flowing and stuff, we need more resources, and it's going to take a lot of legwork and volunteers to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and that's the first project. And then as more projects come up about what we need, you know, we may need to mobilize people around this Wyden-Murkowski bill that's come out. So that would be a second project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe Merkley is also working on that.
That's what Dan was saying. He thought Merkley was working on something too, but I don't know if he has signed on to what Wyden has worked on or if he has a separate bill. Do you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to go out to his site, and I was in the process of doing that when you brought me onto the call. And I'm one of those people who are challenged for doing two things at once.
Oh, so, aren't we all?
Yeah. So. Go ahead.
So I hope that you and all those who are listening to us, you know, kind of jump on and help us with the resource end of it to the extent you can, and then also with the campaign 535, I can actually put a link in there to talk about. I'll put that in the chat room to talk about what that is.
Well, there's a number of organizations out there that are already doing this, like the Move to Amend and other things. So what alliances are you building with those organizations to move this forward? And can you get resources from them?
Dan can answer that question.
Well, funny you should ask. And how you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing good. Dan, yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. Yeah, so actually, excuse me, I got to clear my throat here. Actually, that's kind of right up my alley because that is my position on the board is looking after the interactions between ourselves and the other groups. And one of the things as we were spending 3 days in Washington, D.C. on the what we called the board unretreat was discussing the mechanisms for 535. And the question came up, you know, do we care whether the person who is reporting on the 14th congressional district in Alabama is a coffee party member or a move to amend member or a common cause member? And it came back, no, we don't care. It's the information. And so working with these other groups is definitely something that we're going to be reaching out to them for. It's just a matter of what we have to do first is get the platform down. It doesn't really make sense to engage people in trying to gather this information and then not have any place or any good way to present it, right? So the first thing is, and there's some really, really cool things. Our work group on IT and infrastructure, headed by Justin Brown, I mean, he's a genius. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we're talking about having like an interactive map where you go ahead and you click on the specific state and then it goes down and drills down to the district and then you get your information that way. So these are the kinds of tools that we're building. But again, building those things and hosting them, it's not for free, and that's why we're progressing on this steak, you know, free the elected with a steak and lobster dinner, or tofu and you know, vegan
sushi,
gluten free
fries.
Pizza.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, don't make fun of me, Dan.
I did. No names.
I just posted the Be a Leader campaign or the Campaign 535 in the chat room so people can read a little bit more about what that is. And yeah, there. And so we're really grateful that, I mean, everything from what I'm, from working with many of the board members, everything that I'm seeing is that we are totally on track to, thanks, Marianne, totally on track to being, to having a unique campaign. And what's different about Campaign 535 from what Move to Amend and Common Cause and everyone else is doing is this one-on-one contact with each congressional member of the House and each senator, and then asking them to post their position online so that it's a public record and we can track how many congressmen and senators we actually have voting with us and have it on record. So there's no ability to, you know, parse words, if you will.
Okay. Well, I know Move to Amend has tried to do something similar to that and mm-hmm. and has had a great deal of resistance from the various members of Congress and the Senate.
Oh, indeed.
To actually yes. putting their positions in writing. So good luck.
Yeah, they like to be slippery. I mean, because they never know when the wind is going to change to a different direction, and they wanted that, you know. Having run for office once myself and having, you know, known several politicians, they like options.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's how they stay alive in politics.
Yeah. And remember, Ray, as part of the grand design, if we can not only create this and we can get people like our senators who we know where they stand. Both of our Oregonian senators are all about getting money out of politics. And if
right.
you get enough of those people, then the people who come and say, we don't want to comment or whatever, that's fine. But then if we can drive enough voters to this come election time, they're going to have to live with those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is about shifting the whole system. We're trying to support what a healthy system would be so that good people can get in office and do the right thing and have it be easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
you know, knowing what the right thing to do and having the bandwidth and partnering with all these other organizations, a natural thing to do. So many people think Citizens United was the wrong move.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I forget what the percentage was, but you know, 70 or 80% of the American people think it was the wrong decision. So, you know, there's still enormous support out there for having the system shift so that we actually get our representatives representing us again.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of people that seem to think that it's wrong, but aren't willing to do anything about it. So,
mm-hmm.
the other thing is that. You know, and this is a theory I espouse on a regular basis, is I talk about the fact that this should never have happened and it shouldn't be happening. It's impossible, because if we're really in the 98% and they're really the 2%, well, I don't care how you slice the money. When you go to the voting booth, 98% wins. So how is it that that's still happening? And so the whole idea of reaching out to these other groups should have a very positive byproduct, and that is starting to coalesce these groups. And instead of, you know, maybe we're not in the 98% is maybe 98 different 1%s. And if we can start coalescing these groups and bring it in, you know, and build a big enough voting block and get that kind of consensus, obviously that's the way to turn the tables on the big money people. So a lot of good. Direct action and should come out of this project, but also a lot of there should be a lot of nice byproducts, if you will, or side effects of it as well.
Well, one of the problems that I see is everybody keeps treating all of these political issues like everybody was a single issue voter, and so they keep trying to. Beat the drum on their single issue, and we end up with 2,300 different committees all working on a single issue. And what I'd really like to see is something that says that, you know, for instance, we just went through the Senate on gun control, and or the House or whatever it was, and ended up with, we know that 98% of the people want some form of gun control, but they couldn't manage to get it through. That seems to me a rather ridiculous situation, and that's just one of the many issues, along with abortion rights and money in politics and those sorts of things that ought to be, come election time, ought to be stacked up next to these elected officials' names, and stop saying just one issue, but gee, this guy is a problem on five issues. See what I'm saying?
Well, see, now you and I, and Debbie Lynn, I'm starting to dominate the conversation, and I don't want to do that. But now you and I, Ray, are getting back to our old conversation about the real problem, which is two parties. And if you have 20 different important subjects out there and you've only got two people to choose from, how do you decide? You now have to prioritize which is more important. You know, and I go back to the other math problem, which is if you look at the presidential election from 2012, you've got 63% coming down on the side of the president. You've got maybe 46%, because about 1% voted in total for the third party folks. 46% coming down for Governor Romney. But how could you vote for Governor Romney if you were voting strictly on an economic platform? The only people that he's going to help are the top maybe 5-10% at most. So take away 10% from 46, you're left with 36% of the people who didn't obviously rate the economy and jobs as the top factor, because there's no way they're going to benefit from Romney's policies. Therefore, what must they have done? Oh, well, this guy's for pro-choice, and I'm definitely, you know, I'm a religious right, and so I'm anti-abortion. So, boom, I'm going to vote for Romney. And it broke out, you know what I'm saying? So that's a problem. When you only have two choices, you've got to then prioritize, and you've got to give away a bunch to get something. It's crazy.
Well, okay, but if you're setting up a false dichotomy, and that is that just because this guy is for or against a single issue that I'm for or against, then I'm going to vote for him. And I don't think the majority of voters actually do that. But all of our political campaigns and all of our organizing is arranged around that false dichotomy. And I think that that's as much of a problem as anything else.
And I'm going to address what you're talking about, Ray, here. This is the false dichotomy has actually been a marketing tool used by the parties, the two existing parties, that is a real duality, to parse us into our segmented groups so that they know who's going to focus on immigration. They know who's going to make that their number one priority, and who's going to make abortion their number one priority, and who's going to make gay marriage their number one priority. And they use these targeted issues to separate, to conquer and divide, or divide and conquer.
And until we overcome that thinking. Exactly.
And until we, you know, evolve our consciousness enough to say, no, we actually need to look at the whole system instead of the thing that what my special interest is, then that's when we graduate, if you will, and shift the system.
And we're not going to do that until we start pointing out that, for instance, this senator has a group of things that people, you know, where the majority of people in his district want this, but he's voting this way on these items, okay? For instance, and gun control is easy because it comes to mind, and it's a pretty obvious issue that, you know, so if I keep beating on that, it's not because, it's just because it's easy, okay? So,
I was, yeah. and so obvious.
And abortion control and a few others are obvious ones that the majority of people in the majority of states are for. And yet the senators and the congressmen are not necessarily voting in that manner. And we need to start stacking all of these up and saying the people want this, but the senators are voting this way on multiple issues. And mm-hmm. if we start making people look at the multiple issues rather than the dichotomy that the political parties keep giving us, then you have a chance to move the needle. But you can't move the needle if you can't get them off of their single issue.
Right. That would be, you know, a really interesting way to set up an organization. Coffee Party is actually open to that type of setup, but they have picked campaign finances like the primary because it touches mm-hmm. all other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be really interesting to see from a systems level how that could work. And I do have another caller, Ray. I'm going to leave your mic open for you. And I'm
going
to bring in, I think it's Bobby Rodrigo from Georgia. Or do you prefer Robert?
Yeah, good afternoon, Janine. Yeah, no, Bobby Robert is
Bobby, and it's Debbie Lynn, but you can call me Janine if you want.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I didn't realize that was you. I apologize. I got a question for Ray. He raised something just the last part that he was talking about that made me want to ask him. The preamble is we have politicians in our lifetimes that have been in office for our lifetime or close to it over and over again. And what we are seeing is exactly what he described for an extended period of time. So the only time that we've actually been able to change anything is when we've had basically single issue protest looking at the 60s and the civil rights, which was a single issue, but not, you know, kind of encompassed the bunch. Whereas now we have a lot of issues, but I believe that most of them fall back on money in politics. Follow the money is definitely something I stop on. I'm going to do a march this weekend. I'm going to be part of the march against Monsanto, for example, which is a glaring example of money in politics. So my question is what would you propose would be the way that maybe the fastest way is what I'm looking for, the way to hold them accountable and make them work for the people. One of my things I always say to everybody is, can you name me 10 politicians that are in Washington, I don't care who they are, what party, whatever, that actually work for us? I don't think it can be done because of money and policy, because of their careers, because of what they're going to do afterwards, et cetera. And I was curious what you thought would be the best way to do that, if you have an idea about that. I'm curious about that.
Well, actually, my son proposed an idea that I thought was pretty good, but haven't had a chance to work on. He said, you know, one of the things that we ought to do is put together a website where people could go and get the voting records of all of the senators and all of the congressmen, and then set up polls across from those and say, okay, the people in their district, you know, polled this way, and yet the senator voted this way. Or the people polled this way, and yay, verily, the senator voted in this way. The idea being that the senator or congressman then becomes directly accountable to the people for his performance. And if they have And, you know, the Senate, you could be open, the site could be open for the senators or congressmen to make responses about why they voted in that as opposed to the other way. And do you see where I'm going with this? The idea
being I've had some thoughts along the same line myself, trying to brainstorm what is the best thing for all of us. You know, we're all working hard to the same goal. You know, what is the best way? Obviously, the free and elect, the marvelous, the 535 project, anything to do with money and politics, because it is so circular. But there also does seem to be a divide, again, as usual, in our society about the effect. I had a conversation yesterday about, you know, we're talking about the GMO labeling of Monsanto. I've been talking a lot about that this week because of the march this week. And right. I was talking to a libertarian who I side with on a lot of issues, and he was telling me how he totally disagrees that Monsanto should be made to label their foods. And we got into a discussion as to why, and in my opinion, most of his reasoning was based upon marketing more than anything else, not necessarily about the law.
Right.
And of course, we have that problem so much. So we have a dilemma. No question.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's, you know, there has been so many changes that do come as a result of having a single focus. And yet I hear what Ray is saying too, and the website. And I'm wondering if there isn't something out there like that already.
Well, I did go out there to look at that, and there are a number of sites where you can get the way the senator voted on a particular bill. But all it tells you is the bill's title. It doesn't tell you the bill's content. It doesn't tell you anything else. A lot of them have said, for instance, that they're going to try and add content and that sort of thing. But they're so many months behind.
Actually, the Library of Congress, because I've been actually doing it lately since one of our media calls within the coffee party, the Library of Congress has a website that actually gives you email blasts of everything that's going on in Congress. And they not only tell you the bill title, they tell you the bill's content, the history, where it is, what committee, and also how people voted. And the problem, the feedback I've been getting from the posts that I've been doing, and I'm sure Debbie Lynn has seen some of them. I haven't done them this week yet, but like last week I put the top 10 on of last week, for example, is I don't get a like, a comment, I get nothing, because it doesn't have the market appeal. It is what people are telling me. You know, nobody wants to sit there and read it. They'd rather have our arguments formulated, that, you know, like the way the media is doing it anyway. Whereas if I get into a discussion, I don't want to listen or post, and I had one yesterday, about the small arms treaty. And, you know, and every time I asked the person about an issue, they posted another op-ed. And my response was, I posted the treaty. And I, you
right.
know, read the treaty. So, I mean, we have a disconnect with facts, again, which is something else we're trying to do here, that is amazing to me. And it seems to be something that we can't penetrate in such a large percentage of our fellow citizens. And again, what you're proposing, anything like that is good. I'm frustrated in that regard, that I spent so much time trying to convince someone of facts, not of opinion. Just the facts. You know, you can't get that agreement sometimes. It is interesting.
Yeah, that is. We are often a fact challenged society, and particularly a fact challenged political society. At least one party that I know of seems to be totally ignorant of most facts. So.
Well, you know, everybody has their own facts. This is the part that I find really challenging, actually, because they have different facts.
But those aren't facts. Those are opinions.
But they hold them as if they are facts, right? And that was my point, is that they think they are facts.
Right.
And everybody holds what they believe to be true as fact, whether it really is or not. And we don't actually have a good process for grounding what we think to be true to see if it's real or not.
Yeah. So if I may, I apologize for the leaf blower. I've been on mute because the landscaping guys are here, of course, as always. right when it's time to get on a phone call. How you doing, Robert? What I have noticed is, this is strictly observational, when people talk about facts and people argue about facts, it seems to me that almost always what they're doing is they're arguing about a future outcome, right? They'll say, well, if you raise taxes, then this is what's going to happen 5 years from now, and this study showed that. And then somebody says, yeah, but this study showed that. They're arguing about future outcomes.
A fact is a fact. It's happened. You can't change it. It's immutable. There is no way to argue a fact, right? As you said, it's either they're arguing opinions, or, as I said, politicians will often do, well, this study from this guy says that 5 years from now the effect of this bill will be this. Well, who's got a crystal ball?
I'm not even talking about that, Dan. And I get what you're saying. I'm talking about it being worse. I'm talking about actual facts being argued. And I'll give you a perfect example because I had it last night. We had, you know, there is the conspiracy side of the discussion where, and even on the intelligence side, and I won't go too crazy here, but real quick, you know, how the arms treaty that the UN was putting out, how they were saying that it was going to be, they could confiscate our guns and all of the things that go along with that. I won't go deep into detail. So my response was, listen, I don't see any language in the treaty that says what you're saying. I want you to educate me and show me where is the language. And the first response was an op-ed from InfoWars. The second response was an op-ed from Fox News. They were giving me people explaining it to me instead of explaining it. My response was, here's the treaty. And you can find this on my page. Here's the treaty. I want you to show me where it says it because I just read it again while we're arguing, and I don't see it. So they took words out of the treaty. End user, for example, was the point. But the entire treaty is a treaty about countries selling arms to other countries and the like. It has nothing to do with citizenry and stuff like that. So I was having an argument with somebody, and we were looking at the words together, and they could not justify their position other than by giving me an op-ed. Somebody telling them how to formulate their opinion. That's the kind of factual arguments I despise, actually. And that's because of the frustration that gets me. It's not so much of study stuff. I mean, this is actual language in the...
I'm going to go back here to the education system and back to the whole systems that we're doing about, in that people don't know how to do critical thinking anymore.
Good point. Good point.
We need people. We're losing you, Bobby. You're far, far away, and the volume is way down. So I don't know if you can
How's that?
That's much better. Much better.
Okay. Can I add something to that, DL?
Sure.
The pursuit of wealth. People are working so for some people it's the pursuit of wealth. For some people it's the pursuit of a living, of keeping food on their table and a roof over their head. People are working so much longer hours, and commutes are so much worse, and there's just such little time. I mean, I remember when I was a kid growing up, we ate as a family, we sat down, we ate, and then my father opened the newspaper and we discussed things. We discussed the topics
world.
Of the day. And that doesn't happen anymore. That plus and the fragmentation of the American family, right? I mean, there's so much in the culture that's changed over the last 30 years. And yeah, our educational system is definitely going downhill, but because of what's happened in the home, I believe people have falsely or unfairly put and shifted a lot of that expectation of that burden onto the educational system, and it's not done the educational system any favors.
And I just want to put a plug in here for Marianne over in chat. She said she also thinks cable TV has hurt people's ability to do critical thinking. And you're talking about the dinner table and talking with your family. I know that at some point in my growing up years, we shifted from talking to each other to watching TV. Because my stepfather didn't want to talk to another family member.
Well, I mean, all of that's a good point. All of that's a good point, but it's got some economic side to it, too, because, of course, we developed into a society where two parents had to work all of a sudden. And that's part of the disconnect. I mean, both of you raised a very good point there, and it has to extend back to money again, as was pointed out, where you now have people trying to just be where they were sooner, and two people had to live in the household. So now the morbid disconnect happens. Absolutely.
Right.
And remember, there were only three television stations back then. And there was only three half-hour nightly news programs.
That was it.
Not 300 24/7/365 news networks. So, the other thing we're all suffering from is information overload and trying to figure out who do we trust and who do we believe. And as Robert will quote you chapter and verse on, there was a deregulation that happened under Reagan where the news agencies actually used to have to tell the truth and care about the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a question for everybody here, because I put this out in the email blast for today. And so I'm going to take a right turn here, guys. How do people listening to this show want to be involved with Coffee Party? And we've got about 9 minutes left on the show today. How do people want to be involved with Coffee Party? Where do you see that we can make the most impact?
We have to get people together physically. That's got to be going on more, because there's so much more of a sense of community about it. By being involved in this march this week, I forgot how important it is for people to interact. I've been so jazzed about the fact that I'm in a room with a large group of people that actually get it. And no matter what the issue is, they actually get it, understand it, are educated about it, talk about it really well, and have a plan. And I really think that the Coffee Party needs to continue to push for the individual pockets of involvement to create a national movement. But local community activism is where it's all about. At least I would think it would be.
Mm-hmm. Got that. So that's something else that we can, you know, put some resources towards. Go ahead, Ray.
I would encourage any alignment with already existing groups and the encouragement of, because a lot of these groups, you can find five groups currently that are fighting the Citizens United thing, okay? And rather than one group, they've got five groups. And we need to have some way of uniting these groups in a common cause and coordinating, because that's our biggest issue. The 1% only have to waive money. We have to waive people. Okay.
Absolutely.
And if we can't coordinate and bring those people together and point them in the right directions, then we don't have a chance of beating the 1%. Because they'll simply beat us with money. We'll never win that battle. If it's a battle about money, we won't win. If it's a battle about ideas and it's a battle about participation, we have a chance.
Right. I like that, Ray. I'm going to bring Linda on. She just raised her hand a minute ago here. And Linda, welcome to Lunch with Loudon today. This is Debbie Lynn.
Hi. I missed everything that went before, unfortunately. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. Did you get anybody that called about? I just went and listened to the video.
This is the campaign finance video?
Oh, you're on a different topic now.
We are. Last question asked was, how do you want to be involved with Coffee Party?
Well, I do what I can do. I just, there's certain things I can't do right now. I would like to save money. That's the problem for me. But I try and do things as far as call my representatives and, do some research, things like that. That's how I personally would try and help.
Well, thanks, Linda. Appreciate that. And any other comments on involvement? Now I want to come back to Linda to pick up what she watched on the video for us.
I would emphasize what Ray said, and I would add to it that the fact that the Coffee Party is transpartisan and civil and fact-based as much as anything else makes it uniquely qualified to cross a lot of lines to join up with different organizations, without a doubt.
There are a lot of things going on in the country involving other organizations as well as the Coffee Party. I'm actually going to be talking to some of the people in the Coffee Party about some ideas I have to do just that. It's a wonderful thing to say, Ray.
Thank you.
Dan, sounds like you got some folks that are might want to work with you.
That is my goal and my job within the Coffee Party Board of Directors is to facilitate those meetings and those reachings out, and as well as to try to reestablish reestablish our links with our local chapters. So, I am looking for volunteer. I'll use that. Fine, there you go, Debbie Lynn. Thank you. I use this as this is an open call for volunteers. I have at least three positions that I need to fill immediately on my committee. That would coordinate these efforts in reaching out and working with these other groups as well as local chapters. So I'm happy to have your help if you'd like to give it.
Yeah, Dan, I was pointed at you the end of last week, and I just haven't had a chance to do that. We do need to talk about that, what you just mentioned, and about some of the ideas. I was directed to go to you about them.
I'd love to have it, Robert.
All right. Thanks. Bobby, Ray, I'm going to put you guys back on mute so we can get a quick report from Linda on the video she went and watched for us. So that we can get a report on the campaign finance report. So thank you, both of you, for calling in. Linda, you're up.
Okay. Basically, it's he listed some things that are different. The one thing that I picked up on, is that it does still allow unlimited funds to be donated. He had listed four things. One is it strengthens real-time disclosure. They right up to the day of the election. You know how like sometimes you find out after the election that this weird named group actually was funded by blah blah blah. Well, it ends that. And it ends the abuse of the charity tax laws, the supposedly social welfare organizations. Because Lisa Murkowski was saying, if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. they go into it in a lot more detail, but basically they can't hide behind that anymore. I just wrote empowers, and I don't remember what that is. But, another one was stand by your provision, which I think he had, Senator Wyden had done before with Olympia Snow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically put your name on your ad. This is, you know, any organization, whether it's a tribe or a oil company, whatever, you can put your name on the ad. They didn't really cover the, you have to listen to past where they start taking questions to get the part about, because one of the questions was, I didn't hear anything about the amount of money that can be donated, and that's when they brought up that, you know, if you want to donate $1 million, you can still donate $1 million. There was something about, I guess the limit now is $200 for individual donations, and it's been raised to $1,000. That's a little bit different. Then you get a certain degree of anonymity, like for small donors, you know, you don't have to disclose, who you are. But anything above that, then yes. So they're going at it from the angle of instead of going trying to figure out which organizations are what, and you know, and then they try and find loopholes and create a different organization type of organization, like these LLCs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that this goes at it from a different angle. It goes at it from the angle of your actions, what you're doing with the money. is if it's a political action, they don't care who you are. It's political action. So I can see that. And basically, it sounds like they're using it as a starting point. It doesn't. They don't expect it to be the end all be all. So it's a good starting point for maybe getting some of the other points added back into the bill by the time it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, be you know, some of the big donations need to be whittled down, but you know, that's my own thing. But anyway, that's the gist of what I could get. I only have my phone, so I was having a heck of a time trying to get it to replay and freeze up and everything else. So I'm sorry it took so long. I have to go back and listen to the show now to hear what the other thing you're talking about was.
Well, I so appreciate you taking the time to do that, Linda, while we were doing the while we were having the show, so we could get a report on what that was. It was it's a 26 minute video. I'll repost that in chat for anybody who missed it. So here's the if you follow the coffee party link, it has the I'm trying to do too many things at once. It has the here's the link to Wyden's bill, but on the front page of the Coffee Party USA website, there's a link to a 26-minute video, and that's what Linda went and watched for us and gave us a report back. Good job. Appreciate that. And I'm about ready to close the show out now. So today was a big day for us at Coffee Party USA because we did launch our Free the Elected campaign, which is basically if you donate whatever amount of money you donate, right now we have a we're giving you a free restaurant.com gift certificate in the same amount that you're donating to coffeepartyusa.com so that we can help build our campaign funds. You get to have a nice dinner and the local restaurant gets to have your patronage. So please go ahead and take a look at that. It's on the front page of the website under Free Steak and Lobster. If you did not get an email from us today, thank you all very much for being here. We appreciate your support, your participation, and it looks like we've got a little bit of follow-up to do with some new volunteers, and we appreciate that very much as well because it's going to take us all to get there. Have a great day from Lunch with Loudon, and this is Debbie Lynn Molina signing off.